Yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Friday, November the 18th, 2016. We're in the book of Judges, that is Shofetim in the Hebrew, and we're going to be doing chapters 17, 18, and 19 today. A couple of short chapters and a longer chapter. So let's get right into chapter 17. This is the story of Micah. It's spelled differently than it is in the English. It's M-I-Y-C-H-A-H. And it's also pronounced Micaiahu. The numbers are 43:21 for Micaiahu and 43:18 for Micah. Same man, different spelling. One is a more formal version. Michael was an idolater. Didn't mean to be. He called him Yahweh, but he had graven images. So let's tell the story of Micah here. Chapter 17, verse 1. There was a man of the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micaiahu. That's Micah. And he said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, about which you cursed 422 and spoke also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it." And his mother said, "Blessed be you of Yahweh, my son." Verse 3, he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, and his mother said, "I wholly dedicate the silver to Yahweh from my hand to my son to make a carved idol, 6459, and a cast idol, 4541. Now, therefore, I will return it to you." Let's stop right here. We need to examine this very carefully. There is a contradiction here. These people had combined idol worship with Yahweh worship. This is a real messy situation. It will be explained in the last part of the chapters, but they were into an apostate religion, much like we are today. There's nothing that's changed. We've got idol-worshipping churches here. The Roman Church worships idols. Verse 4, "Yet he returned the silver to his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the smelter, 6884, who made of it a carved idol and a cast idol. And they were in the house of Micaiahu." Verse 5, "And the man Micah, 4318, had a house of Elohim," small e Elohim, 430, as gods, "and made an ephod, 646, and a teraphim, 8655. That was a household, usually a weather god. "And installed one of his sons who became his priest," 3548. Now, the boy wasn't a full-fledged priest. He wasn't qualified to be a priest, as you will see. And here's the explanation for the behavior. Verse 6. Pardon me. "In those days there was no king in Israel." This is before the kings. "And every man did right," 3477, that's upright, "in his own eyes." Whatever he thought was good, he did it. and verse 6. You can reference Judges 21, 25. They were just doing whatever, sort of like the churches of today. They make it up as they go along. Okay, let's get into verse 7 here. There was a young man from Bethlehem, Yehuda, that's Bethlehem of Judah, from the clan seat, 4940, of Yehuda, who was a Levite, okay? And he sojourned there. Verse 8. And the man departed from the city of Bethlehem, Yehuda, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he made his journey. Verse 9, and Micah said to him, from where do you come? And he replied to him, I am a Levite, in other words, a Levite, of Bethlehem, Yehuda, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. He was looking for a place to work, I guess. Verse 10, and Micah said to him, dwell with me, and be to me a father and a priest. And I will give you 10 shekels of silver a year, and a row of garments, 6187, a row of garments, that's erek, as a complete outfit of clothing for him. And your sustenance, 4241, that's umikeyatheka. That's his provender, or whatever you need to eat, and housing, etc. Verse 11, and the Levi was willing, 2974, to dwell with the man, and the young man was become like one of his sons. Okay. Verse 12, and Micah installed the Levi, and the young man became his priest and was in the household of Micah. Verse 13, then Micah said, now I know that Yahweh will do me good, seeing as how I have a Levi as a priest. Excuse me, Micah, but Yahweh's not going to do you good. He's going to punish you for this because you're an idolater. And you can't call upon his name and pray to idols at the same time. Well, he's going to find that out. They were mixing the religion. Well, they're mixing the religion today. They call it Christianity, yet they celebrate Christmas and Easter. And they're both pagan holidays. They've got the dates wrong. They worship on the day of the sun god, not on the actual Sabbath. They have all kinds of problems in the churches. Mixed race congregations, homosexuals, people coming into church that are just shacking up, people that are divorced over and over and over and play musical spouses, and they tolerate this. That's all right. As long as you put those shekels in the plate, that's cool. Let's get into chapter 18 here and get a hit of iced tea to clear the throat. Oh, that's good. And here is a confrontation between Micah and the tribe of Dan. Chapter 18, verse 1. In those days, there was no king in Israel. This is before Samuel and before Saul. And there was no king. And in those days, the tribe of the Dani, that's the tribe of Dan, Danites, 1839, sought them an inheritance to dwell in, because unto that day inheritance had not fallen to them among the tribes of Israel. In other words, the lot for inheritance has not been cast for them yet. verse 2, and the children of Dan sent from their clan seat 5 men from the whole of, 7098, the men, sons of valor, from Sarah, T-S-A-R-A-H, and from Eshtaol, to spy out, 7270, the land, and to explore it, 2713. And they said to them, go explore the land. And when they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. 3885. Whether they slept in the house or whatever, he might have invited them in just as a common courtesy to travelers. They did that then. Verse 3. When they were close to the house of Micah, they recognized, 5234, the voice, 6963, of the young man, the Lewi, and they turned in there and said to him, who brought you here, and what do you in this place, and on what account are you here? And he said to them, thus and thus does Micah for me, and he hired me, 7936, and I became his priest. Verse 5, and they said to him, ask, please, of Elohim, that we may know whether the way we go upon shall be prosperous. And prosperous is 6743. Hatatzaliak. Verse 6, and the priest said to them, go in peace. Before Yahweh is the way in which you go. Verse 7, then the 5 men went on and came to Laish, 3919, and saw the people that were in it dwelling securely. Okay, that's 3427, pardon me, and 983, after the manner of the Sidoni, that's the Sidonians, quiet, 8252, and secure, 982. Pardon me for a second. And in the land was no possessor, 3423, of restraint, 6114, that might humiliate them, 3637, in anything. And they were far off from the Sidoni and had no dealings, 1697, with any Adam. Humiliate them is considered corrupted. It's Wa'ain Makalim. That's 3637. In other words, the people in Laish were of the people of the Sidoni, but they were living far apart from them, and they thought they were secure. They didn't take any great precautions for defense or anything like that. They were so far away, they just figured nobody would bother them. Verse 8, And they came to their kinsmen in Sarah and Eshtaol, and their kinsmen said to them, "What say you?" Okay. The Israelites were to drive out the Zidonians because they were pagans. So they were fair game. Verse 9. And they replied, "Arise, that we may go up against them, because we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are you still sitting idle? Do not hesitate to go to enter and possess the land." And then, why are you still sitting there? Let's go. Verse 10. "When you go, you shall come to a people secure and to a land wide of both hands." And that would translate into English, I guess, as spacious. Okay, it's Rakab Yadayim. That's an idiom for a spacious land. "Because Elohim has given it into your hands, a place that lacks not of anything that is in the land." In other words, this place is all set up and ready to take. So let's go and raid these people and take it. verse 11. "There set out from there, from the clan seat of the Dani, from Sora and from Eshtaol, 600 men girded with weapons of war." They strapped on their swords and body armor and shields and ready to go. Verse 12, "They went up and camped in Kiriath Yearim," 7157, "in Yehuda, upon which they called that place Machane Dan, 4625, and that means the camp of Dan. To this day, still called that when this book was written. "Behold, it is behind Kiriath Yearim." Verse 13, "And they passed through from there to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the five men responded that had gone out to spy out the country of Laish and said to their kinsmen, 'Do you know that there is in these houses an ephod and a teraphim and a carved idol and a cast idol? Now you know what you must do.'" Verse 15, "They turned aside there and came to the house of the young man, the Lewi, to the house of Micah and asked peace of him." Well, that's how I open my show. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Verse 16, "The 600 men girded with weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate." Verse 17, "And the five men that went up to spy out the land went up and went in there," they just walked in the house, "and took the carved idol, and the ephod, and the teraphim, and the cast idol. And the priest stood in the entrance of the gate with the 600 men girded with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house and took away the carved idol, the ephod, the teraphim, and the cast idol. Then the priest said to them, 'What do you do?'" That's verse 18. Verse 19, "And they said to him, 'Be silent,'" 2790, "'lay your hand upon your mouth,'" which was a custom back then, and come with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest to the house of one man, or to be a priest to a tribe and a clan in Israel? Little incentive there. Verse 20. And the priest's heart was pleased, and he took the ephod, the teraphim, and the carved idol, and went into the midst, 71:30, of the people. In other words, the priest even was in on this. He was going to mess around with this carved idol. That's why Yahweh was angry with them at that time. They were making carved idols. Verse 21. So they turned, 6:4-7, and departed, and put the little ones, 29:45, and the livestock, 4:7-5, and their possessions, 35:20, before them. Verse 22. When they were far away from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses close to Micah were called together and overtook, 16:92, the children of Dan. Verse 23. And they cried out to the children of Dan. They turned around before them and said to Micah, "What ails you?" In other words, the "ails you" was added on, but if the word is "ma." So they said, "Ma, what ails you that you have assembled?" 21:99. And he replied, "You have taken away the gods, the Elohe, my gods, small e, which I made, and my priest, and you have walked away. What have I more? And what is this you say to me? What ails you?" Verse 25. And the children of Dan said to him, "Let not your voice be heard among us, lest men of bitter," 4:7-5:1, "feelings," 5:3-1:5, "strike you down," 6:9-2:3, "and you lose," 6:2:2, "your life with the lives of your household." In other words, shut up and leave us alone. We don't want to hear it, or we'll kill you. That's basically what they said to him. And there's 600 men with drawn swords and shields and spears and bows, and he's there with just a couple of his neighbors from the village. And Micah said, "I'm going home." Verse 26. And the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and returned to his house. So Yahweh didn't bless him for making carved idols now, did he? Verse 27. And they took what Micah made and the priest which he had and came to Laish, to a quiet and secure people. They were very unsuspecting. And they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. Verse 28. And there was no deliverer because it was far off from Sidon, and they had no dealings with any Adam. And it was in the valley that is by Beth Rechob, 1050. And they built a city and dwelled in it. They built their own city. They didn't want that one. Verse 29. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their forefather, at the first. Okay, they changed the name. They did that. When they just basically took over, and they killed all the people. There was nobody to object. Verse 30. And the children of Dan set up the carved idol, and Yahonathan, and that means Yah gives, and that would be Jonathan in English. The son of Gershom, son of Manasseh, he and her sons were priests to the tribe of the Dani until the day of the captivity of the land. Now, they had no business being priests. They were not of Aharon. They were of the tribe of Yosef. From Manasseh, and had absolutely no business being any kind of priests. None at all. That was dead opposite of what Yahweh commanded. Verse 31. And they set up Micah's carved idol, which he made all the time that the house of Elohim was in Shiloh. They had a pagan house of worship. Even though they had the house of Yahweh in Shiloh, and they were punished for all this idolatry. It was just that, you know, Yahweh was angry with these people a lot. Well, let's get into chapter 19. And this is a rather tragic story. And it's a pretty hefty chapter, so I'm going to get right into it. Verse 1 of chapter 19. It was in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a young man of Lewi, sojourning on the far end of the hill country of Ephraim, who took a woman as concubine, 6370, Pelegesh, from Bethlehem, Yehuda. And his concubine played the harlot, 2181, against him, and went from him to her father's house, to Bethlehem, Yehuda, and was there for 4 whole months. In other words, she just ran off, went home with her daddy. That didn't set well. Verse 3, and her husband rose up and went after her to speak upon his heart to her to return her to him. In other words, he's going to speak his heart to her. You know, I love you, dear. Why don't you come home? With his servant and 2 asses, and she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the concubine saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. He liked the young man, and he was happy to see him. Stick around. Oh, let's eat. Let's have a party. It's so good to see you here. Okay. Verse 4, he was retained 2388 by his father-in-law, 2859, the father of the damsel, 5291, and he abode with him 3 days. And they ate and drank and lodged there. And it was on the 4th day they arose early in the morning, and rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said to his son-in-law, 2860, refresh your heart, that's refresh is 5582, with a morsel, 6595, of bread, and afterward go your way. Verse 6, they sat down and ate and drank both together, for the damsel's father had said to the man, will you please tarry all night and let your heart be pleased? In other words, full. 31:90. Verse 7, and when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him, 6484, Wayipitzarbo. Therefore he returned to lodge there. He wanted him to party. He was trying to get him to stay there with his daughter. But no, he wanted to take the woman and go back to where he was from. Verse 8, he rose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart, and the damsel's father said, refresh your heart, please. And they tarried until the day stretched out, 51:86, and both of them ate. In other words, they just sat around and talked all day and ate and drank and wasted the day away. Verse 9, when the man rose to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said to him, behold, now the day declines, 7503, toward evening, 6150. Please tarry all night. Behold, the day declines, 2583, different decline. Lodge here, so your heart be pleased, and tomorrow rise early on your journey and go home. Verse 10, but the man would not lodge that night, but rose up and departed, and came opposite to Yebus, which is Jerusalem, and it was called Yebus at that time, 2982, because the Yebusi still lived there, the Jebusites. And with him two saddled, 2280, asses, and his concubine also with him. Now, the Yebusi were Canaanites, okay, and in much disfavor with the Israelites. They were by, verse 11, they were by Yebus. The day was beat down, 7286, very much, 3966. The servant said to his master, come, please, and turn aside into the city of the Yebusi and lodge in it. Verse 12. And his master said to him, we will not turn aside into the city of racial aliens, 5327. That's Nachri, that are not of the children of Israel. We will pass through to Gibeah. In other words, he didn't even want to get a hotel room in their city because they were racial aliens. Verse 13. And he said to his servant, come, let us draw near to one of these places to lodge, in Gibeah or Ramah. Verse 14, and they passed through and went on, and the sun went down upon them by Gibeah, which belongs to Binyamin. That's Benjamin. Verse 15, they turned aside there to go in to lodge in Gibeah. And he went and sat down in the square of the city, for no man took them to his house to lodge. Well, they weren't very hospitable. Verse 16. Behold, there came an old man from his work, from the field at evening, who also was of the hill country of Ephraim, and he resided at, 1481, that's another version of sojourned. In other words, he was a temporary resident at Gibeah. But the men of the place were B'nai Yamini, Benjaminites. Verse 17, he lifted up his eyes and saw a traveling man at 732 Ha'oreka in the square of the city. And the old man said, to where do you go and from where do you come? And verse 18, and replied to him, we are passing through from Bethlehem, Yehuda, toward the hill country of Ephraim. From there I am, and I went to Bethlehem, Yehuda, but I am going to the house of Yahweh, and there is no man that receives me into his house. Okay? And he continues on. He said, there is both straw, 8401, and fodder for our asses, and there is bread and wine for me and your handmaid, and the young man with your servants, 5650, there is no lack of anything. In other words, we have all our own provisions. We have fodder for our animals and food and wine, and we're all right. We just need a place to stay. That's what he was saying to the guy. Verse 20. And the old man said, peace be with you. In other words, shalom aleichem. Howsoever, all your wants are upon me, only do not lodge in the town square. Verse 21. So he brought him to his house and mixed provender, 1101, for the asses, and they washed, 7364, their feet, and ate and drank. And we're getting into verse 22 of chapter 19, and verses 22 through 24, you can reference Genesis 19, verses 5 through 8. Verse 22, they were pleasing their hearts. In other words, they were in the old man's house eating and drinking. And behold, the men of the city, men of the sons of Belial, that's 1100, that's worthlessness, surrounded, 5437, the house, and beat at the door and spoke to the owner of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into your house that we may know him. 3045. That's sexually. That's the same thing that they said to Lot about the angels that were lodging in his house. Send them forth so we may know them. The Sodomites wanted them. Well, there were Sodomites here as well in this city. And they wanted this new guy to come out so they could do their homosexual garbage with him. Verse 23. This almost virtually parallels, word for word, the story in Genesis about Lot. And the man, the owner of the house, went forth to them and said to them, nay, my brothers, please do not this wickedness. After that this man has come into my house, do not this disgraceful folly. 5039. Behold, my virgin daughter and his concubine, I bring forth now. humble them, 6031. In other words, make them do disgusting sexual things. And do what is good in your eyes, but to this man, do no such disgraceful thing. In other words, no faggotry here. Verse 25. But the men would not listen to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her outside to them, and they knew her, that's 3045, and again, that's sexually, and abused her, 5933, all night until the morning. And when the dawn began to rise, they released her. Verse 26. Then came the woman in the turning, 6437, of morning, and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was until it was daylight. And the turning is like approach. The morning approached. Verse 27, and her master rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went forth to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house with her hands upon the threshold. She was just trying to make it into the house. Verse 28. And he said to her, rise up and let us go. But no reply. In other words, she had been raped to death. So the man took her away upon an ass, and the man rose up and went to his place, to his own house. He finally made it through. Verse 29, when he came to his house, he took a knife, 3979, and cut her into pieces, 5408, with her bones, into 12 pieces, 5409, and sent her to all the territories, that's 1366, of Israel. Verse 30, and it was that all that saw it said, there was no such thing, 2063, done nor seen from the day the children of Israel came up from the land of Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, to this day. Direct your mind, 7760, at Simulachem, toward it, 5921. Take counsel, 5779, and speak out, 1696. That ends chapter 19. And these degenerates in Gibeah did exactly what the degenerates in Sodom tried with the Lot. With these men, quote unquote, wanted to sexually abuse another man. But when the concubine was sent out, they raped her so badly that she died on the doorstep. They are called sons of Belial, and that means worthlessness. And this type exists a lot today, worthless people among us that commit violent sexual crimes. And in the next chapter, chapter 20, which I will get into on Monday, we will show you how this was dealt with. And with all that support them. And when we repent and return to Yahweh, and Yeshua comes and is our master and our king, he will reinstitute these laws and methods of justice. And it will be a sad day for any criminals that do anything like this. The same way he's going to deal with these political criminals that have caused the death of so many of our people. They are going to be executed. Because it says again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, that Yeshua is returning with avenging messengers, mighty messengers, and flaming fire. Every government in the world is going to fall at that point. There will be no earthly governments by mankind. It will be strictly Yeshua ruling everything as our true king. So this business with who you vote for and all of that, that will come to an end. There will be no more scams, and political correctness will go away. All these crimes against nature that are being committed today with the sodomites and the race mixers and all the rest, they are all going to pass away. Those people will be eliminated. They will not be sent to prison. They will just be dealt with. And woe be unto anyone that commits those crimes in the future, because Yahweh's laws will be in place completely and will be rigidly, justly, but rigidly enforced. And you won't have all these child molesters in prison and rapists, and they let them out in a couple of years. And some of these guys have gone back and raped the same woman again. They hunted her down and raped her again, the one that they got thrown in prison for raping in the first place. That's pretty sick. And it terrifies these women, and with good reason. With very good reason. They don't want this animal coming back at them. That's terrible. They need to deal with these people from the get-go. And first time is the charm. If you rape a woman forcibly, and you know, like knife point, and beat her up and rape her, you should hang. They should execute these people. They wouldn't have repeat offenders. They wouldn't have them in prison, having the people of the country support these animals, and they are animals. They behave in a bestial manner, not a conscious manner of a God-fearing man. They victimize these women, and it traumatizes the woman for the rest of her life. Yeah, the physical injuries will heal, unless they give them AIDS. But the psychological damage done to that woman is permanent. They very seldom get over a violent rape like that. And they have problems for the rest of their lives. And if they're a married woman, it destroys the marriage and everything else. And then there's the danger of sexually transmitted diseases, because these animals are unclean. So they wouldn't have a whole prison full of these guys. They would be in the ground as fertilizer. Every government on the planet is going to fall when Yeshua returns. We just had this election, and everybody's talking about Trump and Hillary and who did what and what happened, and they tried to do this and they tried to steal that and they tried to change the voting block and the Electoral College might be corrupt, and on and on and on and on. And it's current events, but it's meant to occupy your attention and deceive you and keep you from studying the Word. None of this stuff matters. It really doesn't. It's going to come to pass. Yahweh has got His hand on it. Yahweh is going to take vengeance on those that have assaulted and attacked and murdered true Israel, not the pretenders in the Middle East. Yahweh's got His hand on it. He's always had His hand on it. These are the last days, and oh, I'm so sick of hearing that, they say. Oh, I'm so bored, same old, same old. Well, that's because you haven't accepted the Messiah yet, and we need to keep teaching the Word. So maybe something would be said by one of us at EFR that would affect your life and cause you to return to the Father. What a glorious thing. If something I say on one of my shows opens up somebody's mind and makes them go back to the Father. What a treat for me. What a wonderful victory I will have won. Just if one believes, and one repents, and one returns. All the effort I put out, and all the guys at EFR put out, is worth it. Believe me. We are all volunteers, and we work real hard at this. Because we love Yahweh and we love His Word and we love our brothers and sisters, and we want to gather more to the remnant that's going to be with Yeshua Messiah when He returns. We want you with us. And remember, all you white nationalists that might be listening, the ultimate in white nationalism is the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the absolute pinnacle, better than National Socialism, better than anything mankind has done, because Yeshua the Messiah will do it right. Everything will be righteous. All the rules will be righteous. There will be no nonsensical rules. No frivolous regulations. There will be freedom and liberty with justice. Real freedom, real liberty, and real justice. Not a mind game, but true reality. This is not a fictional thing that's going to be coming. With Hollywood actors, etc., etc. This is going to be a reality that we will rejoice in. Oh, the rule of law. Yes, if it's just law, we need laws. We need guidance. And there will be rules in the kingdom, and they will be wonderful rules, just and equitable, that will be a joy to keep. I have great joy keeping the feast. I get to fellowship with my brothers and sisters. And oh, is that ever a treat. And we read the Word, and we sit around and we eat, and we talk about the Word, and what's going on in the world today, and how we can prepare for what's coming. and have prayer and just general fellowship during the day. It's just marvelous. So if you, and this goes on all over the country, wherever you are, there is a Christian identity group somewhere close enough for you to attend the feasts. You may have to research to find out where they are and who they are, but they're there. They're there. There are assemblies of Christian Israelites all over. And not just in the United States at all. It's in Great Britain and just all over Europe. The Boer people in South Africa are Israelites. They know they are. They've traced their ancestry. May Yahweh bless and keep them. We are so happy we have Pastor Martins from South Africa on. What a knowledgeable man. And it's just... it's coming. It's going to be glorious. And we want you to be a part of it. We really do. And that's what Eurofolk Radio was all about, really. Getting the word out, making people aware of what really is going on with the news programs and the preaching and the teaching and the health things and the patriotic messages. We urge people to do what's right and to go back to the old ways, which were correct, not politically correct, but biblically correct. And that is a joy. Yahweh's laws are a very light yoke to bear. They truly are. It's all common sense. The food laws are for your own health benefits. And the main thing that I stress right now is preparedness. Prepare yourselves spiritually. Prepare your families spiritually. Teach your children the word. Turn off the video games and the Talmud vision. And sit down with your family and study the word. Don't just listen to somebody up on a pulpit or me reading scripture here. You do it. You research it. You read it. You participate in it. And you will be blessed for it. Well, I'm coming down the end of the hour here. And once again, I will close the show with Shalom Aleichem. That's peace be with you. And I will talk to you on Monday, when we will do the last couple of chapters of the book of Judges. And then on Tuesday, I will get into the book of Ruth. Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.